for the past week, there's been a call to action in memory of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. People are being asked to lay flower tributes to the downtown Capital District and take action on 27 points, representing the 27 years that the Associate Justice served on the High Court. Today, we're rebroadcasting part of an interview we did with John Gotanda following the death of the Supreme Court Justice in September. He's the president of Hawaii Pacific University. He clerked for Ginsburg and shares his memories of her.
My legal career began with Justice Ginsburg. Literally, she swore me into the Hawaii Bar. I'm probably the only person to be sworn in by her as a member of Hawaii Bar. And it all started because she hired me as a staff attorney for the D.C. Circuit when she was a judge on that court. And it's actually a funny story how that came about, because I was in my third year of law school and wanted to do a clerkship after graduation. And I managed to get interviews in Pennsylvania, New York, and Washington, D.C. So I went to get my haircut in Hawaii, you know, going to the East Coast. And so I went to my hair stylist, actually my mother's hair cutter, and I said, I'm going to on interviews. And he heard I was going to New York. So he said, I have to give you a New York haircut. And I said, no, I'm going to go and interview with these judges. I just need a professional looking, normal, clean cut haircut. He would hear nothing of it. And so he whisked me away from the mirror, cut, 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 voila. You know, I came out with a haircut suitable to go clubbing New York, where the front was fine, but the back had three levels of hair, and it looked like he put a bowl over my head and at the edge kind of shaved the back. It was totally inappropriate for an interview, so I was horrified. You know, what was I going to do? But my plan was to walk into the interviews with these judges in their chambers and then kind of back my way out. Bowing my way out, maybe. My plan with then Judge Ginsburg failed because she invited another judge to the interview because it was for a position with the Hope Court. And so they each sat on a side of me, and they could clearly see that my hair in the back was off. There was no hiding, in other words, this haircut. But, you know, RBG, she never gave a hint of noticing. And when it came to the law, she was all about substance. She grilled me for the entire interview. And in the end, the haircut never came up. It didn't matter. I got the job, and it literally changed my career path in the end.
So she didn't hold that bad haircut against you?
No. She's a very stylish person. But that was not a professional haircut for a job interview. But again, she focused and has a laser focus when it comes to the law as to talking about substance, talking about types of things that really were important to her. I really learned a lot from working 2 years at the D.C. Circuit.
You know, knowing that you had this relationship early on in your professional career with this woman who would, you know, really become this icon there on the Supreme Court, on the High Court, what was it like when you heard the news?
Oh, it was devastating. She had played such an important role. She not only gave me my first job, but she was the reference for me twice and helped really launch my second, third careers. When I applied to be a lawyer at the law firm of Covington & Burling, one of the nation's leading law firms, she served as my reference for that. And then when I applied to be a law professor a number of years later, I think it was like 4 years or 5 years later, she again graciously agreed to be a reference. And at that point, she had been put on the Supreme Court. You know, she took the time out, though, to be a reference for me. And it allowed me, really, it opened so many doors for me to have Justice Ginsburg serve as a reference. And really, you know, the news of her passing really was a tremendous blow. She was just a truly amazing person.
And I know there's lots of talk about her replacement and her dying wish to have the next president select the next justice.
First and foremost, she's irreplaceable. She really was just a truly incredible, brilliant lawyer. The sharpest mind, legal mind I've ever worked with, by far, I think, the most gifted, incredibly demanding perfectionist. You can see it in her work that she put in the time and care and thought. I think she's irreplaceable. I don't think anyone, you know, will ever be able to truly replace Justice Ginsburg. She really was a one of a kind in the end.
I was struck by the images that I saw in the news, flowers and the tributes that were being placed outside the Supreme Court. You had women who were bringing their daughters there just to acknowledge, you know, what she's done for women's rights.
And she really lived an amazing life, made a difference in the lives of so many people. But yet, you know, there was a real human side to her, too. You know, she was very careful about her words, very thoughtful. But yet, there was one opportunity I had to argue a case before the D.C. Circuit and a panel that included Justice Ginsburg. And I was appointed by the court. They actually asked me to do that. And I had done it on another occasion, too. But this panel went out of their way, and I think it was because of Justice Ginsburg, not only to grill me and keep me up there for twice the amount of time that was allotted, but then afterward, you know, they not only gave me the experience there of a lifetime, but in footnote, they dropped a thanks for doing this and an acknowledgement of the work that I did on the case, even though I lost in the end. And I think what that shows is that she would go out of her way to, when someone does something, to acknowledge the fact that it's important and the recognition. You know, she took time to recognize others for their contributions, too, in which I think really is just extraordinary that someone for stature and this is so busy and doing so many things would take the time out to do those types of things. It really is illustrative of the type of person she was.
In her later years, I know she would come to visit here in the islands, really made time for the young lawyers at the law school.
Yes, and I think she really did have a fondness for Hawaii. And, you know, I did speak with her on a number of occasions about Hawaii. And I also remember afterward receiving a nice note from her, which I actually have framed after I had left the court. I had sent her the macadamia nuts and coffee, and she was saying how much she loved the macadamia nuts, and she was drinking the coffee and really enjoying the Kona coffee. So I do think that she really did have a fondness for Hawaii in the end.
I guess the fact that she was such an inspiration for so many young legal minds, you know, and when you were at Villanova as the law dean, I'm sure you saw just how important that is to encourage those that are getting into this profession.
Yes, and I also saw it, too, when she once invited me. She was in the area, invited me to go and see her speak at the University of Pennsylvania, where Justice O'Connor was also on that panel. And it was amazing, the impact. You could just see it in the audience that she had and that Justice O'Connor had, too, on the people. They were trailblazers, pioneers, you know, in what they did. She was just a one-of-a-kind, just an amazing, amazing person. She did so much for me. I wouldn't be here where I am today if it wasn't for Justice Ginsburg.
That was HPU President John Gotunda sharing memories of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. A candlelight ceremony to honor her legacy will be held Saturday from 6:30 to 7 p.m. at the state capitol. And the public is encouraged to take part in a drive-by flower and lay drop at the YWCA in downtown Honolulu.